Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're still on a subject of wisdom. Glory to God. God's been talking to me a lot about this. And we're, I was thinking about, things that we're dealing with. One of the things that we have in our nation today, socialism has been is being promoted more and more and more. And it just didn't just start. This has been going over for years and years and years. But I want you to understand something. You will not find a socialist nation that's a godly nation. You'll never find it. Socialism is based on the wisdom of man. That's what it's based on. Well, socialism is never based on the wisdom of God. It's always based on the wisdom of man. And the more people move in that direction, and we have in our nations, and so we've moved away from wisdom. I think it's obvious to look today to see that there isn't wisdom today. There's no wisdom. People without wisdom, they do all kind of things that hurt themselves. You know, socialism is a system designed to hurt the people that want it. It is. It'll always hurt them. They'll be the ones hurt the most by the ones who want it. It won't go. It always will end up, socialism will always take more and take more and take more. And will provide less and less. That's just the way it is. Because man doesn't have the ability to do what God does. God's a provider. Man's not a provider like God is. God's a provider. He's the one, he makes things work. His wisdom is what makes things work. You can't leave it. And there's one of the things that we deal with, and we talked somewhat last week, but the church world has left the Word of God in many areas and has moved away from it, and in doing so, lacks wisdom. We picked up a lot of wisdom of the world. We've incorporated it into Christianity. We call it Christianity today. We even find ways to teach it like we're teaching it from the Word, but it's not the Word of God. And so we need to go over, if anything today, we need to go to the Word of God, get ourselves in line with what the Word of God's saying, find out, going over things. Years ago, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, he said, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe it? Well, it really made me think. So what I did is I started going back, and he really prompted me to go back into the Word, to go through the scriptures of why I believe what I believe. And I started to find things out. I started to find out that there's things that I accepted into belief. There's things that I carried along with me over from religion, even as a sinner, had carried over things that were taught and said, that you heard. People do that all the time. People always drag their old religious beliefs over into their stuff and they just add it to it. Well, I had stuff added too. I also, there was things that were being preached and taught during a time periods people taught. And I mean, they weren't bad people. They were good ministers, wanted to do right. But I realized as I got looking into the Word, we're teaching things that isn't the scriptures don't specifically say. And we need to know that. We need to understand. Many times over the years, I've watched this, people making statements and calling it faith. And I'm trusting God about this or that and the other thing. And they're really not in line with the Word. And I know it ain't going to work. But they believe it's so. So they say it. All the time, people quote things that's supposedly what the Bible says. And they definitely believe that it's so. But it's not. There's a lot of things and quotes and stuff that are made by big name ministers that the Bible really don't even teach. But it's been passed on. And everybody, if you don't judge yourself and look at things, you'll never change. There isn't a one of us that don't have things that it isn't right. And so this is why you got to keep learning. When you think you arrived, well, you're never going nowhere. You ain't arrived. And this is why we got to look at things. And the Lord had me go back over. And I began to look at things and I found numbers of things where the scriptures didn't teach certain things that people had said, things that I had bought and believed. I can't criticize them. I'm supposed to check it out. Don't go ahead criticizing what somebody else you bought, they said, and you bought. If you were dumb enough to buy it, that's your fault. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, you check the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is the Word of God. You're responsible. You do that. You check. You read the Bible for yourself. And so you look at scriptures, and we want to know that scriptures are saying things, that we're just not, saying things. Well, we're dealing with the subject of wisdom, and wisdom we found last week, we read from Job, we aren't going to go back to it, but we found in Job that wisdom does not come from natural things in the earth. In other words, through creation. You don't learn wisdom through creation. You know, you've all heard and heard of people saying, you know, that, oh yeah, my churches, I go out into nature. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they are unwise. In fact, they're very stupid because nature, God may have created it, but it ain't God. It's not God. We need to understand that. Wisdom comes from God. That's the only place it comes from. We looked last week and found out it was the fear of the Lord was the beginning of knowledge and it's the beginning of wisdom. And so those two areas we need to know because number one, you're going to have to gain knowledge. We found out you need knowledge and you need to gain knowledge, but you need to have wisdom to apply that knowledge. And that's one of the things. Our desire is to gain knowledge. Now we have in and it's really part of our society, especially today. It's not as much as years ago, people gain knowledge to do things. Today, people gain knowledge just for knowledge's sake. That's America. And I'm sorry, that's most American Christians. And it's in the whole Christian church, not just in some religious bunch. It's in as much in the Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled people lots of times are full of knowledge. And it's good to have knowledge, but having knowledge in itself, the only thing that you're going to succeed in with life is not your knowledge, it's what you do with your knowledge. Knowledge applied, and that's what wisdom is. It is the knowing how to take knowledge and apply it. If it's not applied, it's of no importance. It's of no value to us. Having knowledge in itself. See, and I showed last week, like our school systems are set up, they're knowledge-based, they are not doing-based. They're not having to be able to do something. We feed you facts and figures, then you take tests if you can memorize those facts and figures. And then you do that. Oh, then you're really good. But then you go out into life and people can't do nothing. People can't do a thing. I mean, my words, most people today, you hand them a hammer, the most thing that they would do is hurt themselves probably. They wouldn't know what to do with it and couldn't handle it or do nothing. People don't know how to do things. People are unskilled today. Loads of people are unskilled. I worked at Reese Candy Company and we had almost all really mostly unskilled workers. You could train monkeys to do the jobs that most of the people did there and they thought they worked hard and they did something. But most of they're unskilled jobs. They didn't take anything of any wisdom to be able to do anything. And anything that required any wisdom, most of them did not want those jobs. 99% of them didn't want a job where you had to think. They want the job where you go into, everything's taken care of them for there, and they stand there like, oh, you know, and push a button once in a while or something. And then they get frustrated when they had to do that. You know, it's just, to me, when I went to Reese Candy Company to work, I thought it was hilarious because I went there and I heard all these complaints. And I thought, this is the easiest job I ever had in my life. I mean, I grew up working on farms and stuff and doing things. I grew up working. And I went to Reese's and they didn't work. And they complained all the time like they worked. And they didn't work. But complain like he did. Oh, it was so hard there. I'll tell you what, it was just so terrible there. And I said, it was just awful. You know, the supervisor didn't pat me and kiss me all the time. It was so hard. But really, that's what we run a society today. People don't have the ability. You find out when people don't have talent and they don't have the things from the standpoint where they do something to put themselves in position where they have to do something. You got to do those kind of things. You know, you can't wait for somebody else around telling you to do things. Most people today, most Americans today, if they go out on a job or they go out to do something, they have to be told to do everything. That's American society. They got to be told to do things. You know, if you go out here, you know, if they see something that needs done, you don't do that. Well, nobody told me to do that. Nobody told me. People have no initiative within themselves to do things. That's why I tell most people, stay out of the ministry. You don't ever want to be in the ministry. Because in the ministry, there's all kind of things that you don't want to do that you're going to have to do. And if you don't do them, I mean, it is. I mean, if you think you're just going to stand and preach all the time, you know, I come in here and I dust things and I do things and stuff. See, people don't write, you know, things need done, you just do them. Now, most people say, well, why don't you, if you need this done, why don't you say something? Why don't you know that it needs done? No, you ain't going to do it unless somebody tells you. Why? You have no initiative. You don't need to be in a ministry. Because you don't have the initiative to be in a ministry. See, that's why this work from home stuff, it ain't working. Don't you believe it is? Most people don't have the... You have to have somebody standing over them, telling them what to do, or they won't do anything. I know. That's most people. And that's most Christians. See, we've lost it because the reason we have, we've lost wisdom. Wisdom is gone. Wisdom's not taught anymore. You know, the Bible says God blesses the labor of your hand. It's wise to want to work. It's not wise just to want a paycheck. It's wise to work. God blesses the labor of your hand. God doesn't bless you because you went to work. See, many people are asking God, I think you ought to pay me more. Maybe you ought to work more. Because God blesses the labor of your hand. God don't bless you financially because you need money. God don't bless you financially just because you give money. Don't you believe those preachers? You just keep doing it. See what happens. God blesses the labor of your hand. I learned that a long time ago. If you're lazy, don't expect to get much. I'm talking wisdom. This is wisdom, folks. But it's dirty talk in today's language. Man, I'm speaking foul language now. Man, I'm going to tell you, this is like four-letter words. Work is a four-letter word in America, definitely. But see, we need to understand, it's the way life is. We work. I don't know if people don't like to do it. I like to have work to do. Let's say people talk about retiring. The average, big retired person. I was on the radio this week, had the radio on in the car, and there was this guy talking, Christian something or other, and it was about, so you could get into retirement. Boy, you got to even retire early. How to get yourself out of the workforce and get yourself, I'm thinking, ain't nothing Christian about this thing. It's trying to get people out here to go sit down, get your money and go sit down. And the idea is God's going to get into that stuff. Look, if you ain't going to do nothing in this earth, you don't need to be here. Well, what do people want to be here? What's the point of being here? We're going to be on vacation all the time? That's what we're going to do. We're just going, I want to have lots of money and just be on vacation and sit around and everything go good for me and that kind of stuff. That's not Bible. The Bible talks about blessing. The Bible talks about being, people being able to do stuff in their old age and that kind of stuff. You don't need health if you ain't going to do nothing. That's why some people don't have it. They don't qualify for it. They don't qualify for health. And we need to get it because we've lost wisdom. I always think about when I was a kid, we would visit in those days, my parents would take us to visit, elderly people and visit, relatives and that stuff that were old, and you go visit them. Today, people won't take their kids to do that because, they get old. They don't have any fun there. And then kids growing up don't know anything about getting old. They think they're just going to live and be wonderful and end up dying young because they're a bunch of heathens. Their parents turned them into it. Good preaching. I don't remember old people not doing nothing as a kid. I don't remember them people as not doing things. I don't remember them. They didn't have McDonald's then, but they didn't go down and sit down the street in some place all the time and whatever else and, going out to lunch all the time. And a lot of them are out to lunch, but it's in their brains. They're out to lunch. They say that we have all this Alzheimer's today. Well, most people don't need a brain anyhow. They never use them. So what's the point? You ain't be using it for nothing. Do you realize this? The study they've done on Alzheimer's, and they found out people that do things to use their brain, even if they see signs of Alzheimer's in them, it doesn't overtake them in the same way as the people who don't, who sit around and don't do nothing. See, you got to apply yourself. Use your brain. I still do things to use my brain. Yesterday, it seemed like everything I set myself to do, something went wrong. It's one of the days, and everything, it does. But, and I thought, it just happens. Sometimes you go through those things, but it's what you do with it. But in each one of the things that went along and happened, wisdom came to me of what to do. And I was, you know, because I'd been over and I'd been teaching about wisdom. And, you know, because in situations, at first I didn't know what to do. I thought, oh, man, this if I'm following what my regularly thinking in my mind, this is going to take a lot of time, a day that I wanted to quick get some other stuff done. And because I wanted to go spend some time to study and things. And I had, but I had these certain things you have to get done. And I'm thinking, oh, you got these. And I just, well, Lord, I need wisdom. I need, what can I do? And each time God showed me what to do when I stopped and I looked for wisdom, things came up inside of me of what to do. And even in one circumstance, I was going to go to do a certain thing, to purchase a certain thing, to correct, fix a problem. And I was going to go do that. And I went to get in the car and I just stopped and sat in the car. I was sitting there in the car to go do it. And I thought, for some reason, I knew I wasn't supposed to go. So I got out of the car. Don't go. And as I walked down to my shed, I'm walking down to my shed, all of a sudden I knew what to do. All of a sudden I knew what to do. See, listening on the ends, if I would have bypassed and I'd have drove that car and went to go get what I thought I needed to do, I would have killed a bunch of time. I would have been doing this whole thing, not listening. Sometimes the hardest thing for us to slow down, to stop. We don't. We get in our own mind. I want something to fix this problem. But what I'm doing, it, I have a wisdom that I think will work. See, God sees the whole picture. He knows it, what can be done. Well, and he showed me, and it was a very simple thing, and it got fixed in no time. And I was back operating again. I'll tell you. But it is dealing with the areas of wisdom as listening. Why? It's because inside we have the wisdom of God. Knowledge, the accumulation is accumulation of facts and figures. And you need that. You need to gain knowledge. You need to look into the Word of God to gain knowledge. But you need to apply it, because wisdom is the ability to correctly apply facts and figures. That's what to do. Now, there's knowledge. There's things that I knew what to do. I had knowledge. But God showed me, like yesterday, how to take things and apply knowledge that I had to fix a problem that I was overlooking. But I had the knowledge. I had it. But I had other knowledge too. I had other facts and figures. And I'm looking at that. So God shows me, because you know what? I said to the Lord, you know, I don't want to spend the day messing around with this thing. I don't want to spend the day doing this. It's not what I had in mind. I don't want to do it. And I said, nah. Show me what to do in this thing. Show me what to do. And there's one thing you have to do is slow down, pay attention on the inside, listen on the inside. Hallelujah. You know, I thought about it. If I would have just drove off in that car, first I had to get out of that car. First I had to do that. You know, and this is what I found out about walking by faith, following God. He didn't give me the answer in the car. He made me get out of the car first. You know, this is what walking by faith. This is why most people think, well, it don't make sense just to get out of the car. Well, stay dumb then. Because that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to stay dumb. You're going to have knowledge, but not how to apply it. I had to step out of the car. And once I got out of the car, then things started coming to me of what to do. And to me, that was as normal, because over the years I've learned that about God. He'll show you things in step. He never shows you the end of the thing. He shows you things in between that you need to take. You follow the wisdom. Now, his wisdom for me getting out of the car made no sense whatsoever, but it was good wisdom. Don't drive and go do what you were going to do. Stop doing that. See, that was wisdom going on right there. Stop that. You wanted to fix this problem quickly. What you're going to do ain't going to fix it quickly. It's not going to do it. So there's a wisdom to this. So what do I have to do? He gets me out of the car. Number one. And then starts to reveal to me what to do. And so see, we need to understand this about wisdom. Is doing that, because God's wisdom many times doesn't necessarily make sense to natural wisdom. It doesn't make any sense to do that. You know, I often think about the things of wisdom on what to do. Driving, the one time I've told this story numbers of times is we were going down. In fact, we were going to go down to Disney World. I was taking the kids down to Disney World. We're driving in a motorhome, and we had left early in the morning. It was just right before light outside, and we're driving. It was in the wintertime in December. We're going to drive down, first stop in down by Macon, Georgia, to visit Wanda's cousin who lived down there, and then we were going to leave from there and go down to Disney World. So we're heading down that way, and I was on 81, driving down through an 81 and planned on cutting across because I didn't want to go down 95 up here in toward Washington in that area. So I'm driving down 81, and I'm up here by the Carlisle area before you get to Carlisle at 81, and I'm driving along. It's early in the morning. It's in December, but the temperature was above freezing outside. Air temperature was above freezing, and it was raining some. It wasn't raining hard, just a light rain, and we're driving along, and at that time is when we used to have the speed limits were 55. Remember those days? It was 55 mile an hour speed limits. And, you know, you wanted to, everybody wanted to speed. You, dear Lord, take you forever to get anywhere, you know. And so anyhow, but we're driving along and I'm driving and it's raining some. So I'm driving the speed limit at 55. I'm driving along. And it keeps coming up inside of me to slow down. Slow down. And it just keeps coming up inside of me. And finally, I just said to Wanda, I said, something inside of me keeps telling me to slow down. So I'm going to slow down. I'm driving 55. So I slowed down and I slowed down to 50. And I'm driving at 50. So I slowed down a little bit. And we drove for a little few miles and it just kept on, slow down, slow down. Now see, God isn't telling me what's going to happen. There's something going to happen. He's not telling me. He's given me wisdom. He's telling me the Holy Spirit's inside me. The Spirit of God is inside of me speaking to me. Why? He knows everything. And he said, slow down, slow down. So I slowed down. I'm driving 45. Now, you know what it's like when you're in an interstate. You're driving 45. Everybody else is real happy about that. Everybody else is just downright tickled. And so we're down just past south of the Carlisle exit there. And there's a place in the road there that you go over a slight turn in the road. It's not much of one. You go up a little bit of grade. There's a bridge and a little bit of grade. You come off the thing just at a slight angle. You come off of it. And I come up over there and there's cars all over the place. Here the bridge was iced. Nobody would have thought it would have been iced because it didn't seem cold enough, but it was iced. And the bridge is iced and there's cars all over the bridge. Had run into each other and are scattered all over the place. And the bridge, and then down past after the bridge, you know, some of them. And I come up over there, and there it is. And I just knew if I hit the brakes, you know, all this goes in a split second. I knew if I hit the brakes, I can't hit the brakes on the bridge. Then I become part of the accident anyhow. And you're driving this motor home, and it's good size, big, you know, big motor home. And you know that it ain't going to hurt me much hitting cars. It's going to do a lot to the cars, but it's going to do a lot more to the cars than it's going to do from us getting injured. Probably going to amount to much at all, but it's not going to do well in cars. But I went up, I just left off the gas, and I weaved through those cars and out the other side and never touched anything. I mean, and there's people coming in behind me who were still driving fast. Now, I want you to understand this. You think God was only warning me? I'll guarantee every sinner and everybody. It's going on. It's happening. If you read the thing this morning. Wisdom's crying out all the time. Wisdom is crying out all the time. You know, there's sometimes that wisdom was crying out and Ed didn't listen. Sometimes that happens. Wisdom cries out and we don't pay attention to it. And then what happens is the word from the book of Proverbs, another word of wisdom which says, I will mock you when your calamity comes. And I won't tell you what, it does. Because I had a sense. If I had a dollar, then every time somebody said to me, I had a sense that I'd have a lot of dollars. I'd have a lot of dollars from me. Of bypassing wisdom. Wisdom speaking. God's talking. And people say, well, God ain't saying nothing. No, you ain't listening. That's your problem. You're listening to everything natural. You're not paying attention to what's going on inside of you and what's happening. There's wisdom. Wisdom's constantly crying out. Even sometime in natural voice. Wisdom's crying out, don't do that. Hey, you know you shouldn't be doing that? Over the years as pastor, many times I've told people they were doing something, shouldn't be doing that. People just bypass it. Just go ahead and do it. Sometimes I just know that I don't know what their outcome is going to be, but I just know that you shouldn't be doing it. See, there's wisdom crying out. People are picking it up and other people ain't picking it up. It's crying out, saying, don't do that. And people just keep doing it. People just keep doing what it is. And after a while, goes wrong. They don't listen. They don't listen to wisdom. And then I always enjoy this, because then when the bad time comes and people come and say, well, why did God let that happen? Or why did God, you know, God's the problem. Why didn't he say anything? Well, he sent 20 people said something. He sent other people said something. He told them and they ignored it. And they just kept going along and they say, why God? Why God? Why God? Why God? It's God's fault. Because you know, wisdom don't really cry out. That's a lie in the word that says that. It ain't yelling nobody. It isn't crying out. It's not doing that. God is the great protector. He does, you know, it amazes me, especially when I think about the crying out that God has done over the last 20 years to our nation. And even in the church world, how many big name ministers have knocked ministers who have stood up and tried to warn? Over the years, I've listened to the biggest names in charismatic make mention of people and say things because they stood up and said, well, they don't know about this judgment. And talking their nonsense. They've been part of the problem, not listening to wisdom. This is why this stuff goes on today. Because people have been trying to warn. People are trying to, hey, pay attention. No, church just goes down the road with the pedal to the metal, you know, heading for disaster. And then the disaster comes and we need to pray, you know, and get this, we want to get this thing changed without listening to God. Well, number one, we ain't been listening. Is number one, don't go be praying, asking it to be changed and you ain't repented yet. You don't admit you've been part of the problem. <You know? laughs> This is a church today. Well, this is charismatics, you know. Just, oh, we're just going to pray and get God. Yeah, we're just going to ask it. We're just going to believe and use our faith. When they've been disobedient all along and not paid attention. And not say, hey, God, you know, we've been a bunch of this problem here. We haven't been paying attention. We haven't been listening. We have been following wisdom. And we need to follow wisdom. There's things that we need to learn and know. There's things that people knew years ago. There's things that just like what Kenneth Hagin said, he knew things he said that he didn't teach because he said the church wasn't ready for it. Do you know, of course, the church didn't need it. The church desperately needed certain things, but he knew he couldn't say anything. They'd never accept it. We have a lot of beliefs in our charismatic groups that won't listen to reason to good things because we have our beliefs about what we think about faith. So we don't listen to anything that don't seem to go along with the way that we believe, even though the Bible's full of it. The Bible has loads to say differently, but we have our beliefs and we need to learn to correct these things. We need to know we're limited in knowledge. We don't like to think that, but we're limited. We like to think we're at the top of it. No, we're not. You know, especially of lately, I've been, you know, there's a lot of ministers within the, you know, whether they're, you know, other independent churches or Baptists or certain things. There's certain things of revelation they have from Scripture that I tell you what, we need in charismatics desperately. They know some things we don't even touch because, you know, it don't sound as positive. But we need to know it about correction of life and about walking right. We need to know them because they're affecting us. You know, there might be things that we know that we could teach them. There's some things they could teach us. And, you know, we need to learn to pay attention. Now, we talked about the words because of, you know, looking at things, and we will look at Proverbs. And we talked about what the word proverb meant. And, you know, it refers to a rule or a standard. That's what the word means. And in the Hebrew, The Hebrew, it means to be like. We talked about this last week. It's to be like. In other words, the wisdom that God gave Solomon that he put in the book of Proverbs, it's that wisdom that makes you, from the standpoint, is to be like God, or to use God's wisdom, you're being like he is. You're thinking like he is. And so we want to be like God. We want to walk. So we need to follow these things. They're things that we need to look at and we need to understand. Now I want us to turn to 1 Kings today. We want to look at 1 Kings. There's some things I want to share with you. The fourth chapter. We're going to look at Solomon getting wisdom from God, where he got his wisdom from. Now there's one thing that happened, you know. King David didn't teach his two eldest sons, Adoniah and Absalom, he didn't teach them the wisdom that he had. And they both ended up in a mess in life. Their lives were a mess. But also Solomon didn't teach his son Rehoboam. See, we need to convey wisdom. We need to teach principles and wisdom that we learn, speaking things and that stuff. And why we do it, we need to teach them. You know, would you ever think, you know, in Solomon, Solomon had all this wisdom. And as soon as his son took over, the kingdom was split and 10 tribes left Israel within the year of him taking over as king. Why? Because of no wisdom. He didn't pay attention to wisdom. His father was too busy in his late life when he came along messing around with all these women. His father was building temples to women. He was going around all the world and picking up the women from all these nations and had all these women. And having all these women, he ended up following women instead of God. He had all this wisdom and he wasn't using it. And what happened? His son paid for it and the whole nation paid for it. And has been paying for it till this day. See, when we don't pass wisdom on, when we don't do it, when we don't gain wisdom, we're hurting the next generation. We're at fault. We're at fault. We need to pass it on down through. We need to pass the wisdom on. You know, there's things that we need to, you know, our children and stuff need to go through some things to learn wisdom. It's not trying to bypass every problem or everything that makes somebody uncomfortable. We're a comfort society. You know, everything is tried to be, you know, to make it so it's comfortable. Now in 1 Kings, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start at verse 29. And it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashores." He says, "Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than them, than all men, than Ethan, and Azarite, and Hermon, Kolkol, and Darda, the sons of Moloch." It says, "And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, from cedar trees to of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things and fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." So here Solomon got all this wisdom. He got all these smarts. But now I want you to understand this. We don't have all the stuff that he wrote and did. We have a portion of them. But understand, we have enough from it for us. I would think God gave us what we need out of it. But we find out all this wisdom that he had. Now it says he from the cedar of Lebanon to hyssops. In other words, he was given wisdom, we would say, from the big to the little. You know, from everything in between, he was given wisdom. God gave him wisdom on things. Now, so if Solomon's wisdom was something that was given to him by God, that kings and stuff journeyed to come and hear it, we should pay some attention to some of the things that he said, wouldn't you think? We would pay attention to them. I don't think the church world hasn't done that. We have spent too much time in other things and looking to those things and really is using wisdom. You know, there's a lot of things you can know, a lot of different things about the, you know, like people, you know, around making confessions, you know, on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a good thing and all that stuff. But at the same time, people know all those kind of things, but they make lousy decisions in life. Well, then what is it, you know, because we spend all this time to making these wonderful confessions that make us feel good, and then we don't have the wisdom to make right decisions in life. I mean, does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. You know, we don't stop and evaluate ourselves. One of the things that religion does to people, people get stuck over an area of religion, and people never ask the question, stop and say, why ain't this working? No, they'll just keep beating the same old dead horse, and then they'll go around and lie to people saying, oh yeah, I'm believing God, trusting God. No, and it ain't working. And people will just go on and just doing stuff. It's like, why do we do that? I've learned over time to get enough sense to say, stop, you know this thing ain't working. I'm missing it somewhere I ain't got this thing. You know, you are never going to get wisdom from God till you stop and do that. He doesn't override your will to head in the direction you're heading in. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say you'll receive because you need. God's not moved by your need. God's moved by your asking. Ask. God does not override the will of man. He don't give you answers you don't ask for. What you don't seek, you ain't finding. What you ain't knocking for, you ain't going to. Understand how God works. It's written out so clear in the scriptures, I don't get it why the church is so dumb about it. Well, God knows what I need. Yeah, he does. And he's still waiting for you to ask for it, and it ain't showing up till you do. We're not going to walk through life and... Did you notice things just work out for you all the time? Just, you know, nothing ever. Yeah, it all works out all the time. All things work together for good. A nice quote of a part of a scripture, enough to make you so stupid in life. It tells you those are called according to his purpose. Are you walking in the purpose of God and called for it? It ain't working out. You better get in line with the rest of that scripture. You can't live like hell and all things working for good. When's the last time cancer worked for anybody's good? All things work together for good. It ain't talking about all and every bad, evil thing and stuff, but people in their dumb little minds. Religion makes people stupid. And quoting half scriptures will make you real stupid. Take the whole thing. It was good. God put it there. and learn from them. You know, it's one of the things that we have here concerning Solomon's wisdom. This is what Jesus Christ said himself in Matthew 12:42. Jesus made this statement. He said, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And he said, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. There is no reason Christians don't have wisdom. And I want to tell you what. That generation that wouldn't listen to Solomon will rise up against our generation for not listening to Jesus. And will rise up against the church for not listening to Jesus. We have one who's wiser than Solomon. There's no reason there's lack of wisdom within the church. Jesus commended, who was the queen of Ethiopia, who had went to just specifically, if you read the scriptures and find out, went to Solomon to just to hear his wisdom and to listen to the wisdom that he had. And Christians, you can hardly get them in a church. You can hardly get them to show up once a week most of the time. You can't get them, you know, that's too much. Everything's too much. We talk about seeking God, but we really don't seek after God. There's a wisdom, and this wisdom is so important. And as we go on this teaching, I'm going to show you why it is so important. It is the reason why we don't see healing like we'd like to and see prosperity like we'd like to. It's because of this. We want the healing and we want the prosperity without the wisdom. Because, see, wisdom takes time. Wisdom must be sought after. No, I just want to write a check out and throw it in there, and that's going to bring me my prosperity. I want something really easy. I want that thing in there. See, you don't have to seek after none of that, do you? No. People love to hear that, and you can preach it to people. and tell them, you just give more, you'll get. Come on, just give. Come on, write another check. Write another check. I'm just going to tell you, it ain't working. The devil will help you keep you, give you money if you'll just keep doing what you're doing to stay stupid. To keep you unspiritual so he can keep operating. We act like God's the only one who gives people money. Uh-uh. The devil will help people get wealthy if he can keep them away from God. And wealth keeps a lot of Christians from God. They have enough money to play a lot. They have enough money. And if you don't get a socialistic government, they'll send you a check when you don't do nothing so you can keep playing. Ooh, bah, somebody corral that man. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to me, folks. See, we have to, folks, there's nothing matter with doing things out here, but we're too leisure. We're in a time of enormous problems. And the church is leisure as it was before any of it started. We're just as leisure. They have just as much little care about God and what's going on with God than they did before it started. Okay. Now, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, 1 Chronicles finishes off with David's life and his kingship. 2 Chronicles starts off with Solomon. And we have here in this about Solomon. We're going to pick up on verse 6 of the first chapter. And we're going to look at Solomon and what he did in getting wisdom. And it says in verse 6, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Now the tabernacle meeting, the temple wasn't built at this time. They were still offering sacrifices at the tabernacle that had been brought into the land. And it says, on that night, this is the seventh, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what shall I give you? Now just think of this. God appears and asks this question. Ask me what I'm supposed to give you. Now, what do you want? Now, in other words, what did you want? I want you to think about today. What would you ask if God came and asked you that question? Because I want you to understand this. God asked that question. And I'm going to tell you exactly how God would operate and do this. I know what he's like. I know what he's like. God asked him this question. It was up to him. Anything he'd ask, he'd have got. Whatever he'd ask for, he'd have got. You say, well, God wouldn't do this or do that. You go ahead and think it. Many times, the mess in your life came because you asked for it. This is why is knowing what to ask for. God says, okay, What shall I give you? What do you want me to give you? What would you think, God? Now, somebody to come and give you anything that you wanted, you know they could do it. You have the choice to ask. God asked him. Well, and Solomon said to God. Now, I really like Solomon's answer here because, see, Solomon started out as a very humble man, and he had a wisdom that he had gotten from his father. He had a wisdom. And this, he's really wise because he just doesn't go right out and ask. He begins to talk to God about God's favor toward his father and him. He starts talking about it. He said, well, you know, in other words, you've done a lot. In other words, so he says, and Solomon said to God, you've shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. And he said, now, O Lord, Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now he said the promise to David. You know what the promise was to David? That he would always have an heir to sit on the throne. That was the promise. Now he said, God, I want that established. I want that established in my kingdom. I want that established. And what I want your promise, what you said you would do. In other words, see, the first thing he talks about here, see, he's more interested in what God wanted to establish than things that he wanted personally. See, there's different levels, and you know, there are different levels of maturity. Most spirit-filled Christians are on this level of maturity. They're on the five-year-old level of maturity. Most of their asking is for their stuff. Give me this, God. Give me that. Give me It's always natural things they're trying to get a hold of. And faith is used mostly in that realm. It's used in that realm. It's like a little kid. Because most Christians think of themselves as, I'm the little kid and I sit on my daddy's lap and, you know, he's my father. They never come to the place where the Bible says we're workers together with him. They never mature to the place where God would ask them something and ask their opinion on anything. They're always little babies that God, you know, I'm goo goo gaga, you know. You know, wipe the slobber off of my mouth, God, you know, and it's just that immaturity. And it comes to a place of grown up. We would say from a standpoint, Solomon, from this standpoint, he's much more mature than a lot of Christians are today. And understand this, he ain't born again. But he's mature enough to understand the importance of covenant and these things, you know, the fact that what God has established, how important it is. And he says to God, now you put me in charge over this people, all these people. And you know what he said? He didn't say they're mine. He said, it's your people. In other words, God, I'm in a tough spot here because these people belong to you. They don't belong to me. They belong to you. And so he's going to need something because they don't belong to him. But God put him in charge to run it. And so you need to understand, what do you put over or what are you over? Do you understand? Do you really know what your needs are? You know, most parents never ask God for what they really need. Most parents need a lot of wisdom and they never ask for none. They don't stop and say, you know, God, these kids are yours. No, they go around and say they're mine. I do what I want with them. No, they ain't yours. See, things turn out the way they are because of the way we think. There needs to be a maturity that comes. You know, we ask God for children, ask God to bless them, we ask all this kind of stuff, but we don't, you know what? You need wisdom to raise kids. If you ain't noticed, and you ain't noticed today, most Christians' kids weren't raised very wise. They're not. I mean, the charismatic walk around talk about all their freedom. You walk into a store where there's a lot of Mennonite kids, and you don't have the Mennonite kids running around yelling and in everything. But the charismatic kids will be in everything. The parents say, no, stay away from there. Oh, no, stay away from there. Don't do this. Oh, that's good preaching, Ed. I'll tell you what. I just... Well, how do they do that? They don't do it from a natural. It's not natural. They have a wisdom. And their wisdom works. I don't care what anybody says about it. The charismatics, it don't work. All this we know. Because what? We don't have the doing. All we have is knowledge. Those people have more doing. That's why it works. Because they got the doing. And you know where they do it at? They do it at the home. That's why when you take the kid out, they don't have that going on. Because it is done in the home. See, I learned that. And the first time I ever took our kids to a charismatic church, and we took it to a charismatic church, and our kids were little, you know, and I remember, well, I mean, Lena was just a real little tot. I know she just, but they said, well, they said they wanted to stay with us the first time they'd ever been at this church. And so we went to this church and sat there, and they sat quiet the whole time. And here comes a real spiritual lady. You know, she comes up and she said, oh, your children, they just sat there, they were just so good. She said, you're so lucky to have kids like that. I said, yeah, I said, you're right. I said, we live like a bunch of heathens. I don't know how we got them to be like this. It was just all luck. No, because they did that at home. At home, they weren't heathens. And we said they don't do something, they don't do something. We trained them at home. We used wisdom. Our kids never ran the house. Our kids never made our home a hell. Because I'm going to tell you, if there was going to be anybody as hell, was in hell for them if they didn't listen. It was hell. As we did it. You know, I come up from a family of nine. You could run everybody out together and go somewhere, and we didn't cause as much trouble as one kid does today. This is good preaching, folks. See, my parents, they weren't charismatic, but they had wisdom. They had wisdom about, they knew how to organize, they could organize a family. Now, wouldn't you rather have somebody like that organize in a place of work than you would? See, the Bible says a guy who can't take care of his family is not supposed to be in charge of the church. Most ministers should never be in charge of the church. They should never be pastors. No, we give them to them because, y'all, they went to school, they did it. That is not the qualifications of the Bible. If their house ain't in order, and it says if their kids ain't in order, they're not supposed to be in a job. A deacon ain't even supposed to be in a church. Folks, we're talking about wisdom. I've been in churches. I was in church. And I tell you, Wanda and I were in charge of the youth group there. And the worst person we had in there was the pastor's son. And I called him out on it and just downright laid it out with him about them being heathens and not raising their kid right. I got tired of it. See, they didn't qualify to be in the ministry. If you can't do it with a couple of people, you think you're going to make it work with a bunch? You see, there's wisdom out here, and we've ignored it. We've followed all this we call freedom stuff and everything else, and it ain't no freedom. And we've followed the wisdom of the world. And we don't want to hamper the child. We don't want to hamper. Yes, you do want to hamper that little thing. The devil will use that little rotten thing and destroy your life. And God will hold you accountable. Folks, this good preaching, I know this is hard stuff. But see, we want to know about wisdom and all this kind of stuff. But there's things got to change. There's a discipline and order that must come back to the church of Jesus Christ. It has left and it's been gone for a long time. And we got to bring things back to an order. Because we have a desire. We want something. There's something we want from God. Solomon said to this, I got all these people out here. I got all these people I got to take care of. In other words, this is not some easy thing. And he says, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? In other words, he said, basically he said, I ain't qualified for this. You know what? Now I'll just tell you this. You're not qualified as a Christian. If God don't anoint you to do it, you ain't qualified. You can't live the Christian life without God. You can't walk and you can't do it without Him. You can't do it on lazy Christianity. It won't work. Solomon, you put me in charge. You put me in charge. God, without you, I can't make this work. I ain't bright enough to do this. I need your help. Do you realize how much help you need? Every one of us need more help than what we ask for. And the things we usually ask for are not the things we really need the help. Now, come on. It's not throwing rocks at nobody. This is just the way it is. We look at it from a natural perspective. And lots of times, man, I stop, God, I can't be seeing clear about what it is. Many times with the Lord, Lord, I want to ask for something, but I'm being honest with you. I don't even know what I need yet. Show me what I really need. I need to see clearly. I need to see clear. Do you ever come to that place where you realize, or do you still think you're pretty bright and you know everything? I come to a place many times, God, I just know that I don't know what I really need. Because I've asked for all that I thought I needed, and it ain't worked yet. So there must be some things missing here that I'm not seeing. It takes wisdom to see things clearly. Even to see ourselves sometimes. Did you ever notice that? We don't always like to pick up the problems about ourselves, do we? No, you always paint yourself in a pretty good picture, don't you? Even when you're a rotten scum. You know, we paint ourselves, you know. If another guy wouldn't be so ugly, I'd be a lot nicer, you know. But we paint ourselves in a good... You know, you're having a problem with the person, they're always the problem. You're not nothing in the problem. They're always the problem. We don't ever paint the picture of what we've done. You know, we go to tell somebody in counseling. Counseling is always about what the other guy did. That's what I always like about you. Husband and wife, you get a wife or a husband comes to you and they say they got a problem. They only ever tell what the other one did. They never tell. And I always say this, well, I don't have to talk to the other person because I can't make a decision. I don't know from their standpoint. You know, the book of Proverbs talks about that. It says, yeah, that side sounds good till you hear the other side. And you know what? I've never had the other person was excited about that happening. Never. I've never one time when I say, I want to know the other side. Why? Because they don't want you to hear the other side. They only want you to hear one side. They don't want the problem fixed. They want you to put the other person in. Well, the pastor said, you need this right now and do this. And that's what they want to hear. And there's times I found this out afterwards. The person who came to do the complaining is 90% of the problem. Amen. See, you know what? Listen, I'm not knocking anybody because see, when God dealt with me when we first got married, I found out that God looked at me as 90% of the problem. Now, I didn't. I thought it was Wanda. But see, but you know what God did? It wasn't that Wanda didn't have things in her life. She had changed. But God's dealing with me about me. He, I want to talk. I want to, you're the guy. You're doing the talking here about it. I want to straighten you out. See, most people are going like, in our nation today, most of the praying is about fixing up these messed up people out here. I want God to fix the messed up church. The messed up church is why the messed up is out there. It's why it exists. It's the messed up church. The church is the problem. The church thinks it's been wonderful when it's not. You'll never get away with God pointing the finger at somebody else when you have fault in it. You can sit and do all you want and do all the praying you want, but I'll tell you what, it's just blowing wind. Because wisdom's going to always come back to straighten you out. Maybe you think, well, my stuff ain't as bad as theirs. That's not the point with God. That's not the point. That's why, you know, Jesus said, get the beam out of your eye. See, it is, I don't care how little it might be, it's a beam in your eye when you think of fixing them is the most important. It's a beam. It has become a beam in your eye when you think it's most important to get them fixed. God taught me that lesson when I first got born again. Because, see, I thought Wanda needed fixed. Look at that person next to you and say, you need fixed. You're lucky. You're lucky. She goes, the rest of them are in trouble, Mike. But see, we're dealing with the fact, ourselves, dealing with ourselves. Where am I wrong? Where am I messed up? See, this is where wisdom comes. It's not anything to hurt you. When I look at the fact, you know, to me, it discomforted me terrible when God started dealing with me. It discomforted me. Here I was. Solomon wants to know how to take care of a people without number, and Ed couldn't take care of Ed. I needed wisdom on how to take care of Ed. How about you? See, we're trying to get the wisdom. But I found out this out. If God could work on me, I found out then I could take care of more other people. And I could take care concerning my family. See, if I wouldn't let him work on me, you forget about praying about your family. You're wasting your time praying for your family if you ain't letting God work on you. See, I found this. If God could work on me, I could use my authority. And you will not use your authority till you get in line with authority. You won't have none. I don't care how much the Bible says you got, it won't work. Till you come in line with authority. When I found out that I got over and started to get corrected, my authority started working, I could bring some things to a halt in that stuff. I could change things. My prayers could get answered. Things started working for me concerning my family. But up until that, it didn't work. See, God wasn't being mean to Ed. God wasn't trying to be something. God was trying to, see, there's things I wanted done. I wanted to have a good family. I wanted my wife and kids to be blessed. I wanted those things, but it required a change in me. Now, God has to work on them on the things of their life. I ain't God. I can't, you know, he's going to have to deal with them on things and on their lives. That's what he has to do. But see, I have to let him work with me. And I found this out. There was a great benefit to the family if the guy in charge could get in line. But you need to understand this. It doesn't matter if the guy gets in line, if the woman don't get in line. There's things God ain't going to, it can't work out, and it ain't never going to work out. So she gets in line and things for her. She's going to have to get in line. You know, the man can't turn around and make everything work. He ain't going to make everything work in the house. He can't. Ain't going to happen. See, everybody has to deal with where their place of authority is. Everybody has to deal with theirs. And so you come to that point. This is what wisdom is about. Wisdom isn't something that starts out there to start, you know, God, give me wisdom on what to do about our government. God, first, what do I do about my governing? What, my place of authority? What about this? If I can't run mine, how can I knock somebody else in office who has all kind of more things under them? And I can't take care of mine, and I'm yelling at him out there? You see what I'm saying? But I want to tell you what. When you find people that will come over and stand in their place and take their place and walk in the wisdom of God, it is amazing the effect that they can have on others and out here. It is amazing. But that effect will not take place till we as individuals take our place. Solomon understood he needed wisdom. Now listen to what he says. I want you to get this today. We'll pick up on this next week. But it says, and God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart. Now he said, now listen to this. This was in your heart. This is what was in your heart. And he said, and you've not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. He said, because this was in your heart. See, you got to know what's really in your heart. This was in Solomon's heart. This was not something. Solomon in his heart. Now that this guy's walking right. This guy has within himself to be able. He has the wisdom to see what he really needs in life. He really sees. In other words, that's what he's in his heart. We have to, what's in your heart? I can't tell you what's in your heart. You know. You know whether you got the right stuff in your heart or not. I don't know. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you have the right stuff in your heart. You can get wrong stuff in your heart. Solomon had this in his heart. God is speaking to him. You know what? If this was just a nice little head thing he said, God would have never done it. Why? Faith comes from the heart. This is by faith. James said, if you lack wisdom, we ask God. He said, we have to what? How you do it? By faith. He said, nothing wavering. This wisdom will come. We can ask God for wisdom, but it has to be by faith. Therefore, it must be something that's in your heart. It can't be just some head thing. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask God for wisdom because, you know, this, because we want to find out the blessing that came because what he did. But you need to understand, this isn't playing some game. Solomon is 100% completely, wholly sincere in what he's talking to God about. Now, God said, you wanted what? To judge his people. Now, I want you to understand that. In other words, Solomon wants to be able to judge God's people.
Well, I thought we don't judge.
Well, you'll never, if you don't judge, then just don't ever ask God for wisdom, because wisdom's going to require you to judge things between what's right, what's wrong, different. Wisdom's going to require you to do that. So if you don't want to ever judge, just quit the idea of wisdom and just live stupid for the rest of your life. Just be like most Christians. Just live dumb as a stick. And I don't want to judge nothing. God's going to give him wisdom to judge his people. Now that word there, judge, and it's usually the things is to pronounce sentence on things. It's for that purpose. Or against. It implies to vindicate or punish. To govern passionately or legitimately. It's the idea that could be to avenge or condemn. Contend or defend or execute judgment. It has to do with the ruling power. Ruling power. Ruling power gives the right to judge. See, many Christians, we have today, and this is one of the things that's in the church doesn't have wisdom because we take the word love and we made the love has no judgment in it, and therefore there's no wisdom in it, and so it doesn't judge between things, between right or wrong or good or evil. It doesn't do it. It just accepts everything. Well, that's complete stupidity. There's none in it. Ruling power has judgment. If you don't understand that ruling power is where we get our prayers answered. To be able to differentiate between right or wrong is good and evil. You can judge by what's good to ask for and what's not good to ask for. People don't know. The church in Corinth, they had a guy who's living with his dad's wife. And Paul said, what's wrong with you guys? You ain't kicked him out of the church. Oh, we're not supposed to judge today. To judge, you'll make him the pastor. He's perverted enough. Now he can be pastor. We don't judge between nothing. These people weren't using any kind of wisdom. And they're rebuked for it. Paul said, turn him over to the devil. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You notice he didn't say turn him over to God. He said, give him to the devil. He lives like the devil. Give him to the devil. Give him to his Lord. Well, that don't sound like love to me. No, it is judgment. It's authority judgment. We don't have that in the church world today. We don't have that. So sin dominates, sin rules. But we find here, it says in verse 12, God, this is what God said he's going to do. He says, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I'm going to give. He said, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any other who have the like. In other words, any of the kings after you. Now I want you to say this. I hear Christians say this all the time. Well, God gave Solomon wisdom and there's nobody ever going to have wisdom like Solomon has. That's not what he said here. He's talking about the kings here to rule that rule over Israel. These are these kings. These ones, you're not going to have it. Because I want you to think about this. If Solomon's wisdom is greater than anyone could have today, that means we got Jesus Christ is not God. He is something lesser. And the Holy Ghost is something lesser than Solomon. We have the Holy Ghost in us, and Jesus said he's going to take everything that I have and he's going to show it to you. Now, Jesus said his wisdom was greater than Solomon's wisdom. There is no such thing in Scripture that says that we can't have more wisdom than Solomon. If we can't have more wisdom than Solomon, we need to send the Holy Ghost back. Say, God, you gave us a cheap, you know, something or other. Take him home with you. We don't need him. Send Solomon back. So we got something. The reason the church has little wisdom today is because of the teaching in the church. We're supposed to have a little wisdom. We're not supposed to be as bright as Solomon. Solomon was an unsaved man, and you think he's going to have more wisdom than the church is supposed to have? The church is supposed to be the wisest group in the earth today. And we can't be the wisest group because we're taught not to be. We're taught somebody else under the old covenant who had a lesser covenant than ours was going to be brighter than everybody else. Totally unscriptural. See, you got to get this stuff out of you. You hear that? I just heard a minister no more than a couple of weeks ago say that. Talk about Solomon being smart. Well, nobody today is going to be smarter than Solomon. And I thought, yeah, you're going to be as dumb as a stick. Jesus shows up, he's going to be one. What, let's take his dummy with us or what? I don't know. Because people don't read the Bible. They pass religion on. Somebody said that years and years ago. They just pass it down the line. They pass it down. And nobody reads the Scripture. They don't read the Scripture. They just quote what somebody else said. Just pass it on down. Is nobody going to be smarter than Solomon? Wow, we got the dumb Holy Spirit. He does something. We got Mr. Stupid in us. He's going to tell us everything Jesus needs to know. And Jesus don't know as much as Solomon. Did you know that? So Jesus lied back there in that scripture I read about there was one greater than Solomon. It's like, don't they read the Bible? Hallelujah. We're a people that are looking for wisdom. There's one thing that we need to do, though. We need to look at what we're seeking for. Matthew 6:33 says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. James said in James, and I quoted part of it, but I'm going to read to you James 1:5-8. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given you. What do you say? We're supposed to ask. God gives it liberally. No, he'll give it to you, but less than Solomon. Yeah. If he gives you less than Solomon, it ain't going to be liberal, is it? Then it's not liberal. Now he says, well, what does he have to do? Let him ask in faith. He said, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In other words, We can receive faith, any kind of wisdom we would like to have if we ask by faith. And how do you ask by faith? When you ask for it, believe He gives it to you. Quit walking around and saying things like, well, I just don't know what to do. I just don't, yeah. I don't know. We've been praying and I just haven't heard. God hasn't talked to me. And then you get this, yeah. That's called double-minded, unstable in all your ways. In other words, you do that about other things too. That's what that means. You got to ask in faith. We know this. If that is the key to getting wisdom, then Solomon had to be in faith when he asked for that. See, the principles of the kingdom never change. Faith didn't change from Old Testament to New Testament. Oh, it did in the minds of most Christians, but it didn't in God. It's the same all the time. Solomon asked in faith, and what did God do? Say, hold it. I ain't going to give you my Solomon said. God said, man, he was so glad to have somebody finally come along and ask for it. He was so excited he gave him a bunch. Wow, I got somebody that believes I'll give him something. And he's excited about it. And he dumps all this wisdom on it. In the church today, James says, what kind of wisdom? He didn't say, hey, you know, this is a short commodity and we have it here. God has a little on the shelf up there and you know, He said, He'll give it to you liberally. If you ask for faith, in other words, what do you need faith, or what do you need wisdom about? What do you need? See, sit down and think about what you really need wisdom. And then approach God by faith and expect that that's what He's going to do. He's going to teach you and He's going to show you what you, the things that you need wisdom and what to do. He'll show those things to you. The average Christian needs to have wisdom on how to pray, on what to ask for. I learned that a long time ago, that I was pretty limited in my understanding about what I needed. So if I go asking, I'm going to be limited in the areas that I ask for. So I need to know. I need to know about, you know, do you really know and see yourself? Do you have wisdom about yourself? Can you really see you clearly? Do you see you clearly? See, we need to see ourselves clearly. And so we need wisdom in these areas. God will give you wisdom. Ask in faith. God, you know, talk about God teaching. I see, I never talk in a way that God don't talk to me. I never say a thing. When I read this and I just don't understand. I don't ever talk like that. Why? Because that's unbelief. That's a sin. It's a sin to talk that way. Why? Because I have the Holy Ghost in a teacher. His whole job is, you know what He's teaching me? I don't care if it don't seem like I'm learning anything. It don't matter. I ain't going to change. He's in there teaching me. I might be stupid not listening, but it ain't because it ain't working. It's working. It's working in me. Hallelujah. He's teaching me. Sometimes I have some deafness, don't you? Hallelujah. Let me see what this says. Go to Proverbs, the third chapter. I want you to see this because this is a thing that will help. To come to another level of faith, of why, really, is learning these things is because when back in 2014 when God started dealing with me in the areas of finances, coming to a higher level, these things will help you. Listen to what Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. This is the happy guy. See, if you ain't happy, it's because you don't have wisdom. He says, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds, you'll see this in the Bible that the word wisdom is always spoken about as a female. It's spoken from as female. It says, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain as fine gold. It says, she is more precious than rubies. Now listen to this. What is wisdom? It's more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now listen to this. In other words, financial gain is not better than wisdom. Wisdom is better. So the number one ain't getting money. That ain't number one on nobody. It should never be number one on your list. We ask too often in those areas. And I want to show you something. It's because God don't want you to have that. But if you get wisdom, the getting money is easy. The reason getting money is hard is because people have no wisdom. They're going at it against the Word of God. They're trying to get wisdom. Now listen to this. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. What's in which's right hand? It says, in other words, length of days is in her hand, her right hand. Length of days is in her right hand. I want you to get a hold of this. The right hand is the right hand of authority. It's always from a scriptural standpoint, the right hand. It's like you go to a king. A king would use his scepter always in his right hand. He never did in his left hand. It was his right. That is the thing, that's the place of authority. The right hand is a place of supreme. Length of days is supreme, not riches. Length of days is over riches. In other words, health and healing and length of days is number one. That's when God spoke to me years ago, and you guys have heard me say this. He said number one thing he wanted his children to have is health. Why? Because the Bible says so. That's in the hand, the right hand of wisdom. Wisdom has that in its right hand. That's the number one thing that wisdom will bring to you. But you notice it don't tell you to seek. Don't seek. He didn't say seek length of days. He didn't say seek riches. See, riches are ministries that push riches first all the time. They're wrong. And it leads to trouble. It leads to problems. Listen, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. This is the place of the walk of faith. Wisdom will take you on this walk. Wisdom is not pushing and trying to get something and trying after it. It's not doing that. Wisdom has those two hands. It's the length of days in her hand. And then there's riches and honor. They're in the left hand. So riches are in wisdom's hand. And yet we are told to seek. We're not told to seek the riches, or we're not told to seek those things. We are told to seek the wisdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things, what? The length of days and the riches will be added to you. See, we're teaching it. People are trying to get healed. People are trying to get riches. They're trying to get... No, you seek wisdom. Those things come with it. I learned that as a young Christian. Why would I be chasing around after healing when the Bible says that He already took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses? See, I got wisdom. Wisdom came to me. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. I'm never trying to get healed. I am healed. Wisdom said I was healed. Wisdom says by His stripes you were healed. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom says I am. So I'm not trying to chase healing. The Bible says God blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm not trying to get money. Money comes to me. When I give, it's given unto me. Pressed down and shaken together, running over, men give it to my bosom. I'm not trying to make that happen. That happens because of what? Wisdom. I sought wisdom, and wisdom brings those things to you. Wisdom leaves you in the position you can ask for anything and get it. When people just do all this teaching, just trying to get this certain thing and trying to just get that certain thing and trying to, all they do is they focus you on something like you're working to get this thing. You ain't working to get none of it. Wisdom leads you in the path of peace. Ha ha. You're in the path of rest. Why? I got it. It belongs to me. It's mine. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get my health and wealth. I already got that. That's a, God gave it to me. Hallelujah. So what? I'm going to live like I got something and quit living like I'm trying to get something, which is a faithless life. Many Christians are taught to live faithless lives. They're taught it. They're not taught they have it. They keep taught to trying to get it. What you need to get, the Bible says, what you need to get is wisdom. That's what you need to get. You need to get the wisdom of the Word, of what the Word... It needs to become your wisdom and not something somebody... Not what Ed said. Doesn't matter how much I believe that I'm healed. That ain't getting you healed. It has to become your wisdom, the wisdom of God. See, you have to seek and search after that till that becomes yours. And when that revelation comes to you, that revolutionized my life. I'll never forget when I finally dawned on me and it believed, I'm already healed. When that came to me, I thought, man, everything just, it just lit up. It was like, my God, somebody turned a spotlight on. It's like, my God, I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. And my body said, you're an idiot. See, wisdom didn't sound right to the natural. See, that wisdom don't come from the natural. The natural said, well, you're still feeling bad, you idiot. That's the natural talking. No, but I had wisdom. God said, you're healed. The natural, my body said, I'm not. Who am I going to believe? Most people will believe their body. They'll believe it and they'll talk it and they'll tell other people about it. What their body said. See, there's a wisdom. Like I said last week, there's a wisdom. The doctor has a wisdom. And you know what? His natural wisdom is right in the natural. It can be right. It can be exactly right. But there's a wisdom of the Bible concerning divine healing. And you know what? The two don't agree. The two don't agree. We decide which one we're going to take. We decide that. God don't decide that. We decide how far our belief will go. We decide. We decide what wisdom we're going to take. We decide that. You know, people are positioned. They're not ready to walk the whole way over here. But you know what? You're going to have a belief somewhere in God's word that is greater than what the doctor has said to have something better. Or you're only going to ever have what the doctor says. You're going to have to believe God on a higher level somewhere to have something better than what the doctor said. But the more, whichever one you yield to the most is what you're going to have the most of. See, there's a wisdom. This is not criticizing. I'm just telling you how it works. This is the way it works. This is wisdom. And there's always the wisdom. There's the wisdom of this world is operating in the way they do things and do stuff. We have it. Or there's the wisdom of God. We have certain things of wisdom that we were taught over time that we did things. But there's better ways to do it. We need to, you know, listen to God. He might show us something better to do. Certain ways you do things. See, I've learned over time of listening to certain things and listening on the inside where, you know, because I was trained like in the service, I was trained electronics on how you troubleshoot things. And, you know, I will have the tendency to troubleshoot in that manner. But, you know, I had to learn to listen on the inside of me because you want to save some time. And sometimes if I pay attention, I get, you know, you don't have to do that and that. Check this over here, and I'll go check and find out that that's it. Here's the problem. You see, there's a greater wisdom. Now, there was nothing rather with the wisdom that they taught us. From a natural standpoint, this I could have gone through it to find eventually what was wrong. But there's a greater wisdom. There's somebody that knows more about that circuits and how that stuff's working than Ed knows. There's somebody that's a tinker toy compared to what he knows. And he can tell this little tinker toy that's running around up here between my ears, he can give it wisdom to know things that you couldn't know any other way. I've had that happen so many times that I just get a sense of something and I'll just go check and find out that's it. That's just, that always cracks me up. To me, that's the most amazing thing about God. And how he just, everyday things that you do. See, you've got to learn to go over to live in this place. See, we talk about this thing and people talk about getting a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And in a sense, what it is operating. But we're listening on the inside of us. God's constantly giving wisdom about things. And we're bypassing it because we do things certain ways. And you know what? We'll go back to do it. We'll just go do it that way. We don't ever stop and listen. We just go do it that way. That's just the way it is. I mean, you know, now I worked at places. They want things done certain ways. They weren't interested in whether I wanted to skip it. You just do it the way they said. It's their place. They're allowed to do that. Just do it the way they said. But there's things that you go along when it comes to mine. Then I can do what I want. But there's wisdom to be had. And we need to learn to listen to this. We need to become sensitive in the inner man, on the inside. Listening down on the inside there, hallelujah, of to what God's saying to us. We don't have to, you don't have to chase after money. You don't have to chase after health. Is number one, God's list. If number one on God's list, he wants you to live a long life. Well, do you want to live a long life sick? You know, last time I checked, I didn't. You know, I don't know about you. See, I don't want to live a long life sick. I want to live a long life well. I want to do something living good, not living sick. So many people out here, they're not living a good life. God wants you to. They need, what they need is wisdom. And what they're turning around and doing, they're after that thing. They're after that health. There's a guy who is a very good friend of mine. I did his funeral. I mean, we were good friends over the years. And I did his funeral. But I could always see this. But he had a system, a way he believed about concerning healing. And I could never get him to listen to wisdom. I knew he could never get a hold of it. He was always trying to get a hold of his healing instead of wisdom. I couldn't get it, could never really get across to him that he was healed. He was always waiting to get healed sometime. He was always waiting to, and it never happened. He was always waiting to get healed. He never came to the place. And I saw this, and for years, I tried to get him over to it, and I didn't want to listen in the inside that was telling me he ain't going to get it. He had a block. See, you need to deal with yourself. See, the reason that happened is because he let that happen to him. He got that block in himself. He wouldn't listen. He had a way of thinking, and he wouldn't listen past that point. Great guy. Really, loved him dearly. But he died prematurely. He didn't have to. Just not paying attention. Not paying attention. Wisdom had the answer for him. But he's not hearing. All he could hear is what he believed. He wouldn't go past that point. See, I heard from Kenneth Hagin when Kenneth Hagin was 16 years old on his deathbed. And the Spirit of the Lord, when he made statement about he believed concerning what the Word of God said about healing, and the Lord spoke to him and said, yes, he said, you believe as far as you know. So in other words, he was limited on the knowledge that he had. Now, he was claiming, yeah, he believed what he knew, but what he knew was not enough. It wasn't until God gave him the wisdom beyond that that he got out of that deathbed. Now, he could have stayed stuck there. And see, that's what this person did. They stayed stuck there. They got it. Well, I believe this, and this is it. This is, I'm believing, so I'm in faith. Yeah, in faith. But the faith wasn't perfected knowledge. It was just partly true. He didn't have the whole thing. Needed further wisdom. He never came to the place to believe that he was healed. He was trying to get healed. See, he never came. He never got that revelation. See, when I speak that from out of my mouth, that's knowledge that goes out of my mouth. But that doesn't mean because the knowledge comes to you that you have the revelation from the standpoint of wisdom to carry that out. You might hear that, but that has, you know, it took time within me to get that inside of me where the light came on that I saw. I'd heard Kenneth Hagin say it many times. I had read those scriptures many times. You know, I read those scriptures. Says, you know, himself, according to Isaiah, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Boy, I mean, they are popular among spirit-filled people, and people say they believe in healing. 1 Peter 2:24, my God, everybody knows them, yet most never get healed. And most will never get healed because it never comes place of the revelation comes to them where the wisdom they get to do those scriptures. They don't ever do them. They don't do them. It's getting that revelation. In other words, that wisdom comes from God. It's something you seek after. Like I said, the word seek there is looking for something like it's lost. Just because you read it, that don't mean you found it. It's got to become something in your heart that you get. The light, and you know when it gets in your heart. You know when the light comes on. You know when you got your healing and you know when you don't. It ain't about your head. Your head don't have to agree with you for you to get something in your heart to come to pass. Your head can fight. I've had my head fight me on things, my words, fight me the whole time. I'm saying I'm healed, and my head's saying you're a liar. And my head's saying you're a knucklehead. You know, you're a messed up idiot. Hallelujah. If you're healed, why do I feel so bad? My head said, But in my heart, see, I will not change what comes out of my mouth. I won't change what comes out of my mouth. I won't change it. I'm healed. By his stripes, I was healed. I was. If I was, then I am. That's just the way it is. I am healed. Praise God, I'm healed. See, you get over in that area, you're talking, I am. See, I'm not trying to get it. But see, that has to come by revelation. You have to get that wisdom of how to take that scriptures and apply them. See, many people, like, they'll hear that in a service, and then they'll, but till they go home, and then they get around the next thing during the week, they're talking something different. They're saying other things. They're over there on those things. See, you got to go, it is, and then you got to live that scripture. You live like it's true. You live like I'm healed. And the doctor says you can't. See, I've been around ministers. I've been around ministers, and they say, well, now you got to use wisdom. Whenever I hear most people say use wisdom, what they say is, you got to follow the earthly wisdom. You got to follow that. Never follow Bible wisdom. You always got to use wisdom. Any minister I've heard ever say that to me has never been a person that's ever walked in divine healing or anything. They've never done it. Because what they mean, now you got to use wisdom. Let me say that. Here's wisdom. You got to walk in what you believe. That's what you're going to have to follow. What you believe in your heart. If you believe what the doctor said and you believe that that's the truth, then you're going to have to walk in that. And if you don't, you ain't going to have much of a chance of getting fixed that way either. You can't be double-minded about this stuff. Either way, you're going to have to walk in whatever wisdom you are going to have to walk in whatever wisdom you're believing. That's what you're stuck with. What happens is Christians get over in that double-minded thing and they're flip-flopping back and forth between the two. And they end up, sinners do better in healing than they do. Sinners get better things done because they're not wishy-washing back between forth between the two of them. See, wisdom will tell you, follow what you believe. You can't follow something else because your heart's going to bring to pass, can only bring to pass what you believe. If you believe the doctor says you have to go 8 weeks, well then that's what you believe. Well then, dear Lord, go the 8 weeks and believe it. But dear Lord, don't jump back and forth between the two of them and take you 12 weeks. That's what people do. They're jumping back and forth between. They're double-minded. They're thinking one way one time, another way another time. They're jumping back around. No, follow what you can follow. What's your wisdom? You know, if you ain't got the wisdom of God saying something and you can't get it into your spirit, no use trying to go out there and practice that because that ain't going to work. Because you're not going to be able to stick with it. See, you get faith in your heart. Then, go to saying it and doing it. You don't do it. You don't just, well, I'm going to go doing it. And if I do it, then I'll come to believe in it. No, you might get out there and things get a whole lot worse. And then you'll say, this faith stuff don't work. Not if this makes any sense to you, but you're going to have to follow what's in your heart. You're going to have to do that. You can't go out because what's in your heart? Trying to do this double-minded stuff, and I watch people try to do that. They're playing both sides. It never works out. Amen? God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to get help. That's why the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin. His desire, he said, he wants his people well healed. He said he wants his people divine healing. He wants to have divine healing. But he told him, he said, now look, he said, he's supposed to tell people this. He said, divine healing is without any doctors or any kind of medications or anything at all. That's divine healing. That's what he told him. And that's scripturally, that's accurate. You never see Jesus, you didn't ever see Jesus send somebody to the doctor, did you? People were always healed from the standpoint divinely. But he ministered for people that, yet he wasn't against doctors because he even talked about people going to the doctor. He didn't, wasn't against doctors. He said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, if a person, you know, can't believe for divine healing, is going to go to the doctor, he said, you pray for them for a quick recovery. So he gave a wisdom there of what to do. Believe, he told you what to believe. I'm supposed to have a quick recovery. That's what I was. So to do that, See, we learned that over there. Wanda and I learned that about the quick recovery thing. You know, when she had her operation, that's what we said. We weren't believing for divine healing for Wanda. If we were believing divine healing, well, then she wouldn't even had an operation. We were believing for a quick recovery. You know, when I sit down, you ask Wanda. I ask Wanda, what can you believe? What are you going to do? I want her, I'm going to join in with her on faith on what she can believe in her heart. Not what we would like to have. It don't matter what you'd like to have. What you'd like to have is a fairy tale. It is nothing. There's no power in what you'd like to have. There's nothing in it. That ain't even hope. Hope is based on something that's true. Like to having. And so I would, you would ask Wanda. I ask her, where can you believe? What do you believe for? She said, I can believe we can have the, I can have the operation and I'll do fine. I said, okay. Then that's where we're going. And we, from that point, believe she's going to have a quick recovery. We believe she wasn't going to have any pain. She didn't. We went, everything that we believed and stated, everything just as we believed and stated came to pass and happened. Now, was it divine healing? Well, no, it wasn't divine healing, but yet God was in it. We brought God in it by what we could believe, by operating in the place He told us and gave wisdom to Kenneth Hagin of where we could go. And I teach it from this church. And yet people try to mix it all the time. Divine and doctor, and they're trying to mix the two. You can't mix the divine with it. Divine means you're not going to go to the doctor. You're not going to do nothing like that. That's the divine healing. So we believe she was going to have the procedure and everything was going to turn out fine. And it did. And that wasn't the first time we've done that. We did that two times she had foot surgery. We did both times. Had exactly what we, she had everything. I just said, well, can you believe for? And what I do is get in agreement what she can believe for. And it worked every time. See, you gotta find, there has to be a preciseness about your believing. See, people are shotgun faith people. You know, they're just shooting something up in the air and air, and once there maybe a pellet will fall on something, we'll get something. We'll get a rabbit out there somewhere. I don't know. Maybe they're not even doing pellets. They're just doing a shot in there and they're missing most of the time. I don't know. They're putting a slug in there and firing it off, and there's always a big bang, but not much ever happens. If you follow wisdom, see, God gave Kenneth Hagin wisdom about healing, about getting it. And you know what? I over the years, Wanda and I practice this. It works. Every time it works. If you stand on divine healing by faith, it works. And if you stand over in this other one, it works that way too. It works every time. Every time. Why? It's the wisdom of God. But you got to follow what the wisdom says. You can't have your own idea of what you think. You can't mix it. And everybody's trying to mix things. They're trying to mix it. You know, I might like want divine healing, but if I Wanda had been foolish to go through the things of divine healing, she couldn't believe for it. You know, we'd have done a funeral. That's what we'd have done, a funeral. I've done them for people. Don't listen to wisdom. Praise God. Say, this is what we're going to do. This is what I believe, and it's going to work. We ain't sitting out here waiting. We're waiting for God. We weren't waiting for God. God told us what we could ask for. So we ask exactly what He said we could ask for. And we got it. Say, well, in God's time or in His wisdom. It don't matter what His wisdom. It's got to become your wisdom, not His wisdom. It don't matter what wisdom He got. If you ain't got it, it ain't going to work. You got to get it because you're the one that brings it to pass. You're the one that's going to set things in motion. It's called cause that thing to work. You are. And so let's listen to wisdom. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. See, we're teaching these things is because, and really, we're covering into a lot of things, and I have notes and stuff, but the Holy Ghost is talking. Because people get all confused out here. I don't know. You know, we try to talk to things and we want to be clear on them. And especially in the area of wisdom. You know, when God gives you wisdom to things, begin to follow those things. It's just like wisdom taught. When God gave Kenneth Hagin wisdom about healing and teaching on that. Now, when the Lord reminded me about that, I was teaching. In fact, you don't hear many Spirit-filled ministers teach that. Even the ones that follow Kenneth Hagin. See, the Lord told me when we started the church back and was out there in Birch Road, the Lord spoke to me and told me to start to teach that to people. Because there's a lot of people, they you know, there's people that don't hook up to divine healing. They don't hook up to it. They just have a time. And there's many that they're starting off, you know, and that stuff. And you know, they're not in a place they can just hook up with divine healing. They need to work up some, you know. People need to work up on there. And so I started, the Lord said, you started teaching what I said, you know, to let people know. And I'll never forget, we had I was doing some teaching along that line for a couple Sundays and talking about that, about healing, about going to the doctor and things. And the Lord told me about this, and I had called people up to be ministered to. And I told them, when people come up, I want to know this. Are you standing for divine healing, or are you going to go to the doctor? Which are you going to do? What are you believing for? See, one of the things sometimes is, you know, people come and sometimes in healing lines and go to big services or Benny Hinn's. And we say sometimes people don't get healed. And why don't they get healed? There are many times people don't get healed because they're not really believing for anything from the standpoint. They're wanting divine healing, but that ain't what they can believe for or even anything else. And they get hands laid on them. And it doesn't matter the power of God, you know, they're going to go off, go to the doctor. That's the direction they're believing to go. They're not believing to get healed in that meeting. They have a doctor's appointment the next day and they're going to go to it. Now, they would like to get healed in that meeting, but see, that liking to get healed, that don't make that's going to work. And so the Lord told me to do this. He said, you have people come up and tell you what they want to do. If they want to go to the doctor, they believe that's where they can believe from. He said, have them tell you that, and he said, then pray for them and agree with them for where they can stand on concerning go to the doctor. Agree with them on that. I said, okay, we'll do that. You know, so there's some people came up that Sunday morning, and they came up to be ministered to, and we ministered. And I know this one woman come up, she came up to be prayed for, and she said, oh, she's believing for divine healing. I knew inside she wasn't. I knew in me she wasn't. And I laid hands on her and prayed concerning divine healing. I prayed for her. Divine healing. Well, later on the next Sunday, a person came to me and said, you know, as soon as church is over, she came back and she's talking to me and told me that she's going to the doctor about this thing and she isn't gone. And I knew I didn't say anything else about it. But, you know, but see, she wasn't going to get anything. Well, she never did get healed of her problem. She ended up dying from it. Now see, some people know, well, she believed in divine healing. No, she didn't. She believed divine healing existed, but she had no idea of how to get a hold of it and what to do with it. And she got completely disobedient. She knew she was going to the doctor. She came up and stood there and lied. She lied to me. Now, do you think that's going to work? See, never do that. Don't ever worry about what other people think about where your faith is. You get whatever you have faith to get. Don't try to be something for other people that you're not and you end up with nothing. That's what happens many times. Christians end up with nothing because they're trying to show off in front of other people like they have something they ain't got. Don't you do that. If I couldn't believe for divine healing, well, then we'll just, whatever. I'm going to get something, man. I don't care what you think. I'm going to be alive and breathing tomorrow. I don't give a rip what you think. It don't matter. But see, we live so conscious about what other people, what somebody else thinks. And so we act in certain ways and do certain stuff and promote certain lies. And then wonder why things don't work. They ain't going to work. They're not going to work. You stand where you can. You stand where you can and get what you're able to get. That's what God's interested in. Your faith will not grow with you missing it all the time. My faith grew from when I started off because started off with little things like money. Juan and I started off with a 20 buck belief. But I'll tell you what, that 20 buck belief changed our life. We could believe for the 20. If you'd asked me at that time to believe for $100, I didn't think faith could ever get that big. $100? My God. Believe God for $100? I mean, $20 was stretching it. I had never done such a thing. And I believed for $20. And Wanda and I got together on that, and that $20 showed up, and you'd have thought $1 million check came in. We were so excited at $20. Wanda's walking down the street, nobody around, and the wind blows a $20 bill up to her feet. Can you imagine that? You talk about miraculous, dear Lord. We talked about that for a long time. That was a huge thing, man. That was enormous. And I'm not ashamed of it at all. Thank God. Those things, those were the stepping stones. If you let somebody out here, well, my words, there's people that could believe for $1 million during that time. Well, I, you know, me, $20 was, that was a tough thing. That was big. Well, that led to open the door, and we just started believing for more and more and more, and we just kept upping the ante on that thing, and it kept working. Well, it's the same way with healing or anything like that. You take where you can, and you stand. And you keep doing that thing, standing until you make that thing work. Quit jumping around all over the place and all kind of things. You do whatever you can to bring certain one thing to pass. Quit trying to bring 10 things to pass when you haven't brought one to pass yet. This is good wisdom, folks. Bring one to pass. It'll inspire your faith. If it's small, it don't matter. You got to get some. If you're shooting for something big, and you're having a lot of trouble with it, grab a hold of something smaller and bring it to pass to encourage yourself. Because the devil will keep eating your lunch on the other thing. He'll just keep doing it, running you down all the time because you can't get nothing. You don't help your faith playing this, I'm shooting for the big thing that you can't. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Darn, I mean, don't sit around and wait. If you can't believe it, go to the doctor and believe that you'll get a quick recovery. Believe, you know, for wisdom of what's going on, and you're going to get straightened out. Use your faith where you can. But get something. You know, I've talked about it all the time, pain, you know. Pain can go too far where you can't get yourself mentally or anything else straightened out. Pain can get so severe. Well, if you can't bring it under control with your faith, then take something for it. But learn when it's little. Start on little. I started on headaches. Now, I didn't have migraines. I never had one. I don't know what it is. But I started learning to take control concerning headaches. And I ain't had a headache since about 1980, I think it was. But I learned how to stand. That's just what I started with. I started with little things, headaches, taking authority over those things. Well, then I learned when things, pain get greater and other things, I learned how to take a hold of it. But I started, you know, in headaches, and I wasn't starting with, you know, a migraine could, from what I understand, are a whole lot worse than just a regular headache. But, so you might have to take some. But you start yourself off by getting in faith wherever you can with something and start to use it. But don't let the pain get to the place where, I mean, it just gets so out of control that you just can't, you know. Well, then take something. It ain't going to help you to try to, if you can't believe God, it ain't going to help you at all. There's no, you know, there's no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. Trying to go where you can't go. Trying to go where men have never gone before. That is just, dear Lord, you know, I don't wear the cape yet. Still hanging in the closet. Maybe we'll put it on one day. I don't know. But you just use your faith, folks, where you can. Grab a hold of something. Use some wisdom. This is where wisdom comes. God's not against you. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, this is, and you need to listen. This is wisdom. Just don't run off and do something stupid with it. But Kenneth Hagin made this statement, and it's true. He said, some people die because they don't go to the doctor, and he said, some die because they do. You need to learn to listen to your spirit where God wants you to stand. You can't let your body be the number one judge of where you're supposed to be standing. Some of you know more about healing than you've ever acted on. You don't act in the wisdom that you got. You don't act as far as you know how to do. And you know what? It gets difficult because you don't want anything severe coming along because you won't act out what you know, and the devil may eat your lunch. You got to walk in the knowledge you have. God, wisdom will always lead you to that, not to something less. It's like a guy told me years ago, Rhema graduate. It's before I ever went to Rhema. A Rhema graduate said to me one day, he said, well, I get a headache. He said, I just take the aspirins and stuff. He said, it's just easier. And I thought, I hope you don't come down with something serious because you'll die. You won't have no faith. He was a Rhema graduate. You know, everybody who went to Rhema has any sense. There's loads of dummies that went to Rhema. He was definitely one of them on top of the list. But see, he didn't walk in the knowledge he had. His life ended up all messed up. I know why it did. See, you can't not walk in the knowledge you have. God, after a while, won't honor things. And we want to know that. That's why. Listen on the inside. What's God telling you to do? See, many times we bypass that. We just go right to what we, you know, want to do. But what's God saying to do? Giving thought. You know, like when they gave Wanda her diagnosis concerning her heart, we didn't decide that day where we were going to stand. I didn't even pray about it per se. I just went and listened. I wanted to know from the Lord what to do. See, we don't even usually ask that. We just jump on our thing there, the direction we're going to go. I've learned it over the years. You don't do that. See, many times we don't get God involved. We're really not asking for wisdom on what to do. I want to know where I can stand. I want to know what I can do. That's why when I went in the hospital, I went to the hospital. I had a thing with my lung, and I went in the hospital. And my big search wasn't to find out, you know, about my healing per se. I wanted to know if I messed up and opened the door to this thing. Why? Because if you don't know that, you may not be able to close the door. If you let the door open, they might not be able to fix it. If something needs corrected, if I'd done something to open the door, I want to close that door before I go blabbing my mouth about healing. Because my blabbing my mouth about healing ain't going to work. I need to know, first of all, have I done something that opened the door to let the devil do this to me? The curse don't come without a cause. See, most people never ask those questions. They never ask those questions. They just jump right in. Well, we're in faith. Believe and pray for me. Let's get this thing rolling along. Yeah, come on. God, let's yahoo. Let's do it. Get on the bull and ride. Let's go. And I wonder why things don't work. No, I wanted to know. Did I mess up? What did I do? Because if it was, I wanted to correct that. Why? I want to bring this thing to stop, man. I'm telling you, I was in major pain. I was in huge pain. I didn't know a little blood clot in your lung could cause so much pain, but I'm going to tell you what, it was severe pain. But I wanted to bring things to a halt. Because I wanted to know this. When I went and spoke concerning what's in my heart of faith, I want it to work. I don't want to be down here 6 months later and say, I'm believing God. And then a year later, I'm believing God. And then 2 years later, I'm believing God. Man, I ain't putting up that pain that long. Take me home, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what you do is you listen. You listen on the inside. You know what? That may take time. Take time with God. Not just praying. Take time listening. Take time listening with God. You're dealing with situations, probably, whether it don't have to be health. It can be anything that you need answers for. Take time to listen. You know, I'll talk to the Lord about, well, I know, this is what I know from Scripture, Lord. I know this. What don't I know? I know this about that. Well, see, when I talk to the Lord about the subject from the Scripture, you know, He's not interested in your thoughts about it. Do you know that? Talk to Him about what He said about it. That's covenant. I mean, He'll talk to you about covenant. See, most people come and they talk to Him about their problem. Now, what's the covenant? Bring the covenant. Say, Lord, this is what Your covenant says about this situation. Here's what Your covenant says. Lord, I see what your covenant says, and I believe that, but this thing ain't working. I need to know. There's things I need to know. What do I need to know in this thing? See, I know when I got it, it's hooked up on the inside, and I know when it's not. Anybody ever comes, I've had people say, well, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. That's the biggest lie they ever said. They wouldn't be making that statement. It's proof they don't aren't in faith. They would have never said that if they don't know that they're in faith or not. Well, you're not in faith by saying that. It's like, I mean, to me, this isn't rocket science and some of this stuff. It's just downright easy. But there's one thing it won't change till you admit it. See, if you fake like you're in faith, it won't change. You just stop and say, here's where I'm at. God ain't going to get mad at you. He's already known it. He already knew it. He knew I wasn't believing. He knew it. You just talk to him about it. Say, Lord, I know it. Sometimes you're going to need to hear God say something to you. Faith comes by hearing. And he'll say something to you that'll just change it. Every one of us has had that. Where God said something, and when he said it, that changed everything. It's like, didn't take 10 seconds to get in faith. Now, I got a hold of this thing, I know what to do, and I got it. But see, this is something that's not in our society. It's the lack of patience is in our society. It's that being willing to wait to hear. That can be a very hard thing to do. Hard thing to do. Glory to God. Father, I thank you here this morning. You're teaching these things to us. And Lord God, Lord, this isn't being critical of us. Lord God, you're giving us wisdom. Lord God, you're setting us free, hallelujah, not to be afraid to approach you. Lord God, that you're not going to, as James said, if we ask for wisdom, you give it liberally without reproach. And Lord God, in other words, reproach. Lord God, even though we've made mistakes, and even though we've missed it, you still will give us wisdom. You're not going to hold it against us. You're going to give us wisdom. And all you said is we have to come and ask in faith. We just got to believe that you give it to us when we ask. And Lord, I want to thank you. Every one of us here today, there's areas that we need wisdom. There's areas, Lord God, that we've walked in and Lord, we've stumbled. Some of the areas we've walked in, we've stumbled. We don't know if we walked in them, but we stumbled around in them a lot. And Lord God, we've attempted certain things of faith, and we've walked in things that we've known. And Lord, I always think about what you told Brother Hagin when he was a young boy, that we believe as far as we know. And sometimes, Lord God, that's where we've been. We've been trying to act in faith on a limited amount of information. But we thought we knew. We thought we had all we needed. But I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, if we lack that wisdom, if we lack the wisdom that we need, I want to thank you that you give it to us liberally. I thank you the Holy Spirit in us, the great teacher's inside of us. And you didn't put him in there to criticize us and run us down. You put him in there to reveal your will and wisdom and purpose to us. And I thank you that you're doing that today. You're revealing your wisdom, will, and purpose in us, Lord God, to whatever it is. And Father God, Father, as you had me say years and years back to an individual, you had me say to them because of where they were trying to walk in faith, and you said to ask the individual how you eat an elephant. And Lord God, I thought that was really a strange thing to say to a person you're ministering to. And you said, ask him how you eat an elephant. And then I asked him, and then you told me to say, one bite at a time. And Lord God, I pray right now to give wisdom because, Lord, there's ones here that have been trying to bite off more than they can chew. They've been trying to bite off more, and it's hindered them, Lord. And Lord, you want to help them. You want to do something wonderful for them and something good for them. And Lord God, they don't have to try to make the whole thing work at once. Lord, Lord, you're just telling them today that the wisdom is to take a hold of what you can chew. Bite that thing as much as your faith will allow you to take a hold of. And if you do, God will meet you there today in the name of Jesus. He'll meet you at that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can't take all your healing at once, take a piece of it. Take a piece of it right now. If whatever it might be in your life, whether financial or whatever, whatever, if you can't be for the whole thing, get part of it. Whatever you can believe for. God will help and bring that to pass, and you're going to have enough, the Lord said. You'll have enough in the name of Jesus. He'll make it work for you. He'll make it work. So take what you can do. He wants you to step out because today, Lord God, you want them to step into that place, Lord God, where their faith grows exceedingly. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And the Spirit of God saying this, if you will step into these little spots and these little places and take these little bites, if you'll do them, you will be shocked in a short period of time. You'll be taking great bites. You'll be taking bites bigger than you've ever taken before because you have gone step by step. You don't have to reach the top step today. You don't have to do that today. You reach from step to step, and the Holy Ghost is there to work in you and bring you the wisdom that you need to take those steps. God will lead you in the place of rest. He's not going to put pressure on you where you cannot walk. He will not do that. He will not tempt you beyond where you can stand. He will show you where you need to go, and He will build you in that place as He takes you. Hallelujah. Because you've not arrived yet. You've not gone to the top, and He knows. But He will take you there if you will listen to wisdom, and wisdom will take you there to that place that you've desired. Yes, yes, you will go there. Hallelujah. As you listen to the Spirit of God within you, and He will lead you and guide you into all the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Concerning your body and concerning health in your body. Health in your body. The Bible says this. This is the scripture. It says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening or making alive your mortal body. The same Spirit. So in other words, you have, and we as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We were born, and we're born in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. He's inside of you. See, and we want to walk in that wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord is saying this now. Because the walking in that wisdom in you, you know, I'll tell them that. I learn it, it's like a thing that worked on me. Maybe you can think of something for yourself that maybe makes more sense to you, but I've always considered like the Spirit of God working in me as a God's medicine inside of me. See, same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it's medicine. Well, when you take medicine, if you went to the doctor and took medicine, did you ever notice that most time medicine is not some instantaneous thing? It just, you know, you flip a switch and wow. You know, they have medicines. They've done that to ready people, and I mean, made instant changes. But most time it don't. That medicine is in a person, and they take it over a period of time. Well, you know, the Holy Ghost is in you. You know the medicine is in you all the time? The medicine is always in you all the time. It's always in you all the time. And that medicine is in you working. And see, getting that thought in your mind. See, lots of times we think about healing, and we think about instantaneous. You know, divine healing itself isn't always instantaneous. The Bible says we lay hands on the sick and they recover. It didn't say lay a hand on them and they all get well right away. It said they recover. Most of the time, most people are going to recover. That's how they're going to recover. So we're going to do it. See, that medicine's working in there. And see, you need to get that thought in you that medicine, God's medicine. And see, I would do this. See, and I would claim, you know, my healing. I'd say, I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I'd say, the Holy Ghost, God's medicine's in me, working in me, bringing about a healing and a cure. That medicine's in there. And I'd say that all the time. I'd say it all the time. I'd say, God's medicine's working in me when something it wasn't seem like it was. But I'd say, God's medicine. I took the medicine's in me, and that medicine's in me working all the time, bringing about a healing and a cure. It's making my body alive. It's in there all the time. See, most people are looking for some kind of power to come on you and zap you, and then that's the power of God. Most of the time the power of God works, you'll never feel it. Because it ain't based on feeling. You got to get that feeling stuff out of your head. The power of God's in you. Just think about it. The Holy Ghost's in you. God's living inside of you. And you want a feeling? A little believing would do some good. That's all you need is that on the inside, that feeling. On the inside, I don't need to feel it. Doesn't matter if I feel it. It's working. It's doing it. It's inside me working. That medicine's in there, bringing about a healing and a cure in my body in the name of Jesus. See, get that. Put that on your voice. Now, If you don't have any sickness and you don't have anything, you need to get that where, see, this is where people wait till they feel bad to start doing things. See, all the time, the Holy Ghost is in me all the time, quickening and making my body alive. Sickness and disease can't come on me because inside of me, see, I'm walking in the wisdom of the Word. I'm saying what the Word says. This is not a mental thing. It has nothing to do with the mind. Ain't got a thing at all to do with the mind. Because to bring it to pass, it doesn't require the mind to bring it to pass. It's good when your mind can cooperate with you, but your mind don't have anything to do with bringing it to pass. It comes to pass because of what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. And see, all the time. See, the Holy Ghost. See, you get in the idea. See, this is getting over in the areas of walking in divine health. See, the Spirit of God's already in me. He's already in me. See, we mostly think of healing from this flat. I get feeling bad, then I try to get well. Then we call that healing. No, you get over in the thing. See, there's a lot of things that if you get thinking right and get wisdom inside of you, there's a lot of things you'll never face. A lot of things people will never face. But because of what's inside, I get it on the inside of me. See, it's in there working all the time. All the time in there. The Holy Ghost, it's His job in you, is His job is inside of you, is to make your mortal flesh alive. Do you believe He's actually doing that? See, you've got to come to the place that you believe that He's actually doing that. That's not nice words on a page. That all the time you think, He's making me alive right now. My body's being made alive. And the doctor, you go to the doctor and he said, "Boy, your body ain't alive." Well, now you have a choice. What are you going to believe? What are you going to walk out of the office? You're going to walk out and say, "Well, the doctor thinks I'm getting worse." See, I don't really care what he thought. That's His wisdom. That's what He sees from the natural. But that's not what I see. See, what I see, I have a wisdom. I have a wisdom that is beyond the doctor's wisdom. I have a wisdom. And that wisdom says that the one that's in me is making my body alive. That's what I have in me. That's what's inside of me. That's what's working in me. Thank God it's working. See, we don't get mad at the doctor. He's telling you, you shouldn't have went there if you didn't want to hear anything. You shouldn't have went there anyhow. But what you want to do is walk out with, you want to carry it, continue in the wisdom of God that you have. It's working. You know, you might go in and he says, "Well, the medication I'm giving you, I don't know if it's really working well or what." Praise God, I'm getting better. Say, I'm getting better. Praise God. You know, I'm improving all the time. You know, I'm improving. "Well, I'll tell you, I'm just getting worse. I don't know. I understand. God, don't you see what's going on? I'm just getting worse." don't do it. See, you want to walk in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm being quickened. I'm being alive. I'm being quickened. Hallelujah. See, you get that on your voice all the time. Not even when just sick. When you're walking around, say, "Thank God." You know, it'd be a good thing to get up in the morning and say, "Praise God. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is working inside of me. He's making my mortal body alive. My body's more alive today than it was yesterday. Glory to God." Hallelujah. Some days my body don't want to get out of bed. It's just, another day. But you know what? It don't matter. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is making my body alive. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for life, because we are people of life. We're people of soundness and health. We have good minds, Lord God. Minds that think properly. Lord God, that we're endowed with the wisdom of God. It's been given to us liberally without reproach. And that wisdom's working in us. And Lord God, we're understanding how to apply the Word of God to our lives. So we can walk in a level we have not walked before. But Lord God, so your kingdom is furthered, and that's what we want to do. Your kingdom's furthered. Father, we're not worried about health and money. They're ours. They're given to us. Lord God, Lord, they just come along with wisdom. Hallelujah. Lord God, in the right hand, there's long life. Hallelujah. Health, soundness. And Lord God, riches and honor in the other one. Hallelujah. Father God, we got it all, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you. Just practice the things that you hear. Start to put them to work. Don't just, you know, say, "Well, I could need to do that." No, just go ahead and start doing it. Act them out. Wisdom will always perform for you. Hallelujah. Because it's from God. Amen. God bless you.